I had a, I call it a heat stroke, but my daughter calls it a mini stroke that I had on the 12th of August. I almost fell out in the yard. I was mowing grass and almost fell out in the yard at 8 o'clock at night. It was like 80-some degrees, and I about passed out and everything. If I did, I would have been dead because I have a condition that if I lay down, I quit breathing. And I have to have a machine to sleep with at night. And if I had fell out and had no control of my body, I would have died. So God kept me alive. And that, managed to stagger in the house and all that. But a lot of things have been going on in my life, you know. And I came across a verse in Psalm 62:8. Before I read that, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, give strength, Lord, where it's needed. And Lord, I need you, God. And Lord, give me strength to do what's right. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 62:8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is refuge for us. Selah. This verse means a lot to me because I went through years and years and years, and people said they had this verse, and it matched their life and everything, and I didn't have anything. And so I had this hard time for quite a long time, and I was trying to find something that fit me. So it would give me strength, I could think about it every day. And the seat took whatever it is that I had fit. It affected my speech, affected my walk and everything else. So I've had a hard time at work. And I've been to work, but I still have a hard time with it. But I'm making it through, and God's going to help me get over it, I guess. But, you know, the whole thing is pouring out your heart to him. And you got to, and if you read, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Samuel 1, a lady named Hannah poured out her heart to God. Her husband's other wife, that back then, you know, husband's other wife, but, you know, people had more than one wife back then, and so they had, some had four or five wives. Solomon had, I don't know how many, thousands, 1,700 wives or something like that, whatever. And you wonder, man, it's hard to take care of one, let alone 400 or 500 or whatever, you know. I don't know how to do that, you know. But anyhow, the other wife that her husband had made her fret by saying, you don't have any kids. You don't have any kids. You don't have any kids. And every woman back then, they wanted to have a kid, have a baby, you know. And it was a joy for them to have a baby. And she went to the tabernacle, and Eli was the high priest back then. And Eli said, get away, you're drunk, you know, because he saw her praying, and she was only her lips were moving, and he said, you're drunk. And, no, I'm pouring out my heart to God. So she poured her heart out to him, and Eli said, you know, God's going to give you your desire. And a couple years later, she brought a boy to the temple. And said, for this child I prayed. And you know the name Samuel means ask for. So she asked for a child, and God gave it to her. And you know, I've asked for a lot of things, and been through a lot of things. I feel like I've been through hell on earth, you know. Six years ago, I went through a divorce. I married a nice woman. I thought she was nice and everything, but then she just stopped one day and just totally just left. And didn't even tell me. I didn't know it until I got home. And everything, all her stuff was gone, and everything. I read a letter. I about fell on the floor. My heart fell out of the chair on the floor, and I'd pick it up and put it back in. And that was tough. It's a tough thing to do because I loved her really, really hard, you know, and loved her a whole lot. But, you know, when hard times come, what are you going to do? I watch a lot of people here, and they go through hard times. And there's people here, we heard just testified about her family and everything. She's going through a hard time. Yeah. And there's kids here that when hard times hit my home, you know, I got a granddaughter that's in the same situation, basically. She has a tyrant for a father and a mother that doesn't care. My daughter doesn't care about her. And I'd like to strangle her sometimes, you know, for letting things happen in her home that she she had control over and everything. And I told my granddaughter, I said, she's 20 years old, and she's moved in back in with me again. And hopefully she's going to stay there. And hopefully she's going to come to church one day and get saved and all that.
Amen.
Okay. But, you know, when you pour out your heart, you do it because you know that God hears you, number one. And number two, because God knows what you're going through.
Amen.
And number three, because God cares. And number four, God's timing is perfect.
That's right.
You know,
right.
You got when you get those things, there's a whole host of things that, and you know, first thing you got to do is, one thing, motto that I took on a long time ago, and my first wife, she was kind of crazy, I don't know. She was depressed all the time and did crazy things and all like that. And there's a Bible verse that I lived in Proverbs. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than a brawling woman in a white house. I lived that verse, literally lived it for 24 years. And you think, well, what is that? You ever get fussed at 24 hours a day when you was home? That's what I got, fussed at, yelled at, screamed at, everything. You don't love me. No, you don't because you do this. No, you don't because you don't do this. And she would name things and all like that. And I was so frustrated. And you think, how in the world am I going to stay good for God? She said, you're holier now and everything. And no. I said, you brag all the time. You do this. You want to do this. No. It's not like that. I tried to get her to help me at Silver Lake. And she said, no, that's your bag. You know, what do you do? What do you do? You pour out your heart to him.
Amen.
And you
Amen.
Keep doing. You know, you keep on going. And in Psalm 142 is a very good chapter that I chose. Actually, I found this. I typed in a phrase, pour out your heart before him. And I got this phrase. A woman made this up. Some Christian woman, I don't even know who she is. I didn't write the name down, but she wrote this outline. And I kind of followed it, and I changed it a little bit here and there. But, you know, God hears your cry. And if things are going wrong, you know, God hears what you're doing. God hears what you are calling him to do and to help you with. And, you know, I've had so much opposition in my life that it's crazy. I prayed two guys away from work one day. Over the course of time, I prayed two guys. I said, God, it's either him or me. One of us has to go. I said, I can't work with this around this guy anymore. And one guy, he started cursing God, and I said, Ken, I said, I would not tell God to do that, what you just told him to do. I said, you might stand before him one day
and
at a great white throne and him cast you into hell. And he said, I ain't worried about him. I'll take to him, throw it away from him, and cast him into hell. I said, Ken, I wouldn't say that. And he said, well, I just did. I said, well, and the next day he was in jail. That night he was in jail. You know, and what does that tell you? You know, you went, and I just thought, God, it's either him or me. And there's no question.
That's right.
It's either him or me. And then God chose to keep me working, you know.
Yeah.
And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. You got to let God know what's going on in your life. He already knows anyhow, but you let God know because it helps you as a person. It helps you to know when you start complaining to God. Sometimes God, you know, I complain a lot to God, and he says, well, here he goes again. But, you know, pour out your heart. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to pour out your heart before him with all this stuff that's going on. You know, there's kids here. My granddaughter doesn't really have a mother, and she doesn't have a father. Her father lives in Texas, and he's a tyrant. And I told her one day, I said, you know, I had power in my hands that you could have never been born, which I did at one time. I told him, I said, bug off. You're not messing with my daughter anymore. And then my first wife, she said, I think we should write him a letter and tell him he should contact him. I said, no, don't do that. It'll messed up if you do. And she did. He called her up and contacted her, and then it was 45 days later they were married, and I didn't have anything to do about it, you know. And there wasn't anything I could do. I just had to go with the flow on that one. And he left her for a Vietnamese woman and went to college and tried to become a doctor and all this stuff. And and moved to Texas so he could make more money and all this. He followed the money trail and all that stuff. And then messed up my daughter, messed her up real pretty bad. And now she's out and everything. And you know, the whole thing is you got to stay in church. Every time the doors are open, you've got to come, and you've got to read the Bible every day, and you've got to pray every day. And if you don't do one of those three things, you'll fall.
Right.
You will fall.
Amen.
You got to do something to keep from falling. And those are the three things that keep you from falling. Now, you might not always do right or anything like that, but that will keep you. You may be messed up when you come into church and everything. There's days that I come here, I don't want to be here. But I come because I know that's what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And I get something from the preaching, and I go out of here a little bit better than what I came in.
Amen.
You know, but you got to read the scriptures every day.
Yeah.
And you got to pray every day, and you got to come to church every time when the doors open. And, you know, in the year 85, I was a turning point in my life for reading the scriptures and everything. And I made a point that I would read Psalms and Proverbs every 30 days. And you don't think, oh, you can't do that. You read 5 Psalms and 1 Proverb, you can read it in a month, every 30 days. No fail. And I've read that constantly for the past, whatever, since 1985. And that's a pretty good thing. You know. And I read the 4 Gospels every month. And the New Testament every 2 months, and probably 3 or 4 times, 5 times, the Old Testament, you know, I read that. And because God knows, and when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path, in the way wherein I have walked, they have privily laid a snare for me. The devils and the people are going to go against you. They're going to do things to you. Family's going to do things to you. My family, it's weird at all, you know. And you think, you know, why are you doing all this like that, you know? And When I graduated from high school, I went into Coast Guard, and when I went to Portland, Maine, I got saved in Portland, Maine. I was one way when I left home. When I came back, I was married in a different way, and I stayed that way. I didn't change much, but I stayed in the church. And my family said, he's going off the deep end, you know. And I think my mother and father were saved before they died. I know my dad, when I was a little kid, we went to a little church out here, Delaney's, used to be Delaney's Methodist Church. Oh, you don't know where it's at, Delaney's Corner, out there on Blackstone, at the end of Blackstone Road or whatever. We went there when I was a kid, and it had one pastor. Mabel Erskine was the pastor there. And supposedly my dad said he went forward and got saved. You know, he said a ball and chain could have been dropped, and that wouldn't have stopped me from going up, from getting saved. You know? And he had a changed life for a while, but then things happened in his life, and he fell out. And see, you got to keep going. You got to keep going.
That's
you
right.
know,
yeah.
God knows what you're going through, and God can keep things in your life. And there's all kinds of kids here that have a mother and father, but they don't have a mother and father. They don't live with them. And you think, well, I was raised in a traditional American family. The mother stayed home. The father worked. And When I went to school, I got on the bus, came home. I knew my mother was going to be there, and I knew at a certain time, unless providentially hindered, my father was going to be home, and we were going to eat supper at a table, and we were not going to watch TV or listen to radio. We were going to have family time at a table and eat supper. That's the way I grew up. That's the way a lot of people grew up.
Yeah.
And that's not heard of now. Why? Because people have gotten away from the scriptures.
Amen.
You know. And I remember my mother reading Bible stories out of a book, you know, different things. We had this book of Bible stories. My mother read them. So I was taught to live morally, right, and never steal and never cheat and things like that. I was taught that, you know, okay. But a lot of things happened in my life. God sees your pain that you're going through, you know. And God, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that cared for me, no man. Now, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, you look around. Nobody's going to care for you. You look around. There's hardly nobody going to care for you. The world doesn't care about you. Public school doesn't care about you. Your job doesn't care about you.
That's right.
You know, things like that. But there's people here that do. And God cares. And if nobody else does, God cares about you.
Amen.
You. as an individual, you, you. God sees what you're going through. He sees what I'm going through, you know. And I don't know. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to keep yourself straight. And I've had a hard time keeping myself straight because at work, God, you know, well, what you do on the weekend? Oh, not much. You know, you can go out or nothing like that. Yeah, I'd like to find somebody I could fall in love with. Yeah, okay. Somebody I can talk to. Somebody I can talk to on a regular basis and things like that. It's tough. But you live by yourself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the only people you talk to is at work and here. And that's it. Other than that, you don't talk to anybody. That's why it's a good thing my granddaughter's in the house, because at least I have somebody to talk to.
Amen.
I cried unto the Lord, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I attended unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt bountifully, or thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I'm having a hard time reading right now because of the things going on, but I do okay. But you know, attending him on a cry, you know, David is telling, he's telling God, he says, look, listen to me, I'm crying to you, God, listen to me. I need your help. I need you, God, I need you. And, you know, there's times when I just said, weren't you, I was having I don't know what you call it, a pity party or whatever, one of those times when you want to have a pity party and nobody seems to want to come, you know, you've seen those. Who's that laugh? Oh, Mike, okay. You have these pity parties. Nobody wants to come. And you say, come on, have a party with me. And I just yelled out two words, God help. And it all just kind of went away, you know. And you just have to yell out. You just yell out, God help.
That's right.
You know.
Amen.
Help. There's no telling what can happen in your life at any given time, you know, with the devil hanging around you. And the devil fighting against you and your flesh and everything. You got a bunch of enemies against you. You got the world, the flesh, and the devil. And, man, look, they're charging you worse than a squirt gun with gas. You know? It's pretty bad sometimes. And then you go to work and people are yelling at you, telling you, well, yeah, look at, you know, if you don't go around looking for every woman that crosses your path, I get yelled at, you know. Oh, you know, look at her. Well, so what? You know. There's a certain category of a person that I'm looking for, and I'm not going to give up until I find that. And I haven't found it yet, you know.
Amen.
And one thing that is dead wrong, if you have a spouse and your spouse prays with you, never tell them, why did you pray that way? Things like that, you know. You know what I got one time? I went and cried at the altar one day and said, I know you. What you do, cry crocodile tears? I know you're going to go right back and do the same thing. Do you know what I prayed for? And she said, well, no, not really. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you either because it's private. You know, there were some things I prayed for. But when you got things like that, what's the sense in going home? But you do. You have to. And that's the kind of things that I got. And I cleaned the chimney out one day. I had a wood stove in the house I had at one point in time. I cleaned the chimney. It took me 2 hours to clean the chimney out. And she goes, why are you up there so long? Well, I felt like standing on the roof because I felt like I was free standing on the roof. I felt like I was free from a bunch of screaming and yelling and things like that, you know. It's kind of hard for some of you to understand that, but some of you may. Some of you have been screamed at. I can't stand being screamed at, so please don't scream at me ever, you know. It's hard to take screaming that somebody was screaming, just literally just screaming, you know. And they think a brawling woman in a white house is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a brawling woman in the white house. And they think, what in the world is a brawling woman? I used to think a brawl was a big fight, you know. But a brawl is a loud, boisterous argument. And you couldn't win, no matter what you did. I could not win because she knew everything. And the first thing she told me, when we first got married, she said, I'm more spiritual than you because I've been saved longer than you and I went to a year of Bible school. So I'm more spiritual than you. But when I superseded her spirituality, she didn't like it. and said, you need to listen to me. You never listen to me. You never listen. And, you know, things like that. And it gets to you, you know. And then she used to put people down. She said, well, we can't have anything to do with them. They don't do this or they do that or whatever, you know. Well, but she would never, she was always depressed, and she went in the hospital for a week, and she came out of a basket case, if you want to figure that one out, a basket case on 5 different drugs and all this. And one day I took her drugs and thrust them down and said, you're going to have to get better on your own because I ain't buying you any more drugs. I lost $5,000 in 1 year on doctors and hospital bills and all that, you know, $5,000 in 1 year. And I finally dealt with it, and it got paid off, but, you know, but God's timing is always perfect. God always brings things your way. And down through the years, there was always one person that always came my way and gave me a little shot in the arm of some encouragement and things like that. So, you know, I'll take anything that you guys could say anything to me and give me a little strength and encouragement, I'll take it. You know, prayer, I'll take that too. I'll take any prayer at all that you can say, you know, just remember in prayer, you know, but, you know, because you pour out your heart for him because God knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
And God cares about what you're going through. He cares.
Right.
You know, he's there. He cares. And, you know, one day Ro was here and preaching about Judas Iscariot. You all remember that? He said, could Judas Iscariot have gotten saved? The answer to that, a lot of people said no. I said, well, yeah, if he had repented, well, God knew that he was going to betray Jesus Christ. And if God knows something, that's what it's going to be no matter what takes place. That's what it's going to be. And God knows what you're going through. God knows your situation. And sometimes God knows that you've got to go through something, then you're going to go through it no matter what. You try to avoid it. And there's things that I try to avoid, and I can't avoid them because God knows that's going to happen.
Yep.
And the hardest thing that I ever did in my life was to watch a lady die, the only person in my life that ever said they loved me. The only person. My father never looked me in the eye and said, son, I love you. My mother never did that either. And I never one time heard my mother say to my father that I love you. And she was always, I love you too. He said it to her, but she never said it to him. And I never saw that, you know. And the other two women that I was married to, Cindy and Darlene, I told them I love you. They said, I love you too. They never said it to me back, you know. But Connie, before she died, she was standing in the room. She said, come here, I want to tell you something. She looked me in the eyes, dead in the eyes. She said, I'm glad I met you. I said, I wouldn't want anybody else but you. And I love you, and I want you to know that. You know. And when she died, man, that was the hardest thing I ever did, is to watch her die the way she did. Pain, suffering, the way she did. It was terrible. Yeah. And you think, well, I was grateful for all those people that came to that hospital that night when she was laying in that bed, and about 20-some people prayed over her and everything. You know, she gave me a shot in the arm to where I could make it through. I knew I could make it through.
Amen.
But if it hadn't been for God, I don't know where I'd be.
Amen.
And, you know, I appreciate, you know, and I hope you people pray for me because I could use it. I need some encouragement. I need all the encouragement I can get. Yeah. And, but I just wanted to share some things with you so you know where I'm at so that you can get some encouragement. I just want to encourage people. And I'm all the time finding somebody to encourage, and I don't get very much of it, but whatever, you know. And being at Silver Lake, those people need all the encouragement they can get, but they ended up encouraging me. There's a lady, she's had a stroke, and she can't talk, but I've learned how to communicate with her, and I've learned how to understand her guttural voice that she, like that. I've learned how to pick up on some of the words that she says, and I go to her, I go like that, you know, like I'm watching her, you know, and she starts laughing, and she'll be real sad and everything. I just sit back, I just walk down the hall, and just like that, and just start laughing, and it makes my day, you know. When you encourage somebody, it makes your day. It makes,
yeah,
it's, right. it's good that you get encouraged, you know, that you encourage somebody, because it's what you should do, is encourage one another. If we can't encourage one another, what in the world did Jesus do? But just remember that God hears and God knows what you're going through and God cares about what you're going through. He cares about you. personal, make it personal. He knows, he cares about you, what you're going through,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
His timing is perfect, and because God can change me. God can change me if I, you know, and one thing I'd like to challenge you is read the book of Psalms in one day. Has anybody ever done that before? I've done it 5 times. Read the book of Psalms in one day.
Amen.
It takes about, you can do it, if you read straight through, it takes you about 5-6 hours. But I did it in about, at least the time I did it, was, I think it was 5.5 hours. And the first time I did it at work one night. I had a job that I could read, do anything I wanted except fall asleep, watch TV, or listen to radio. I couldn't do that. So I watched these boys sleep in a cottage that was in a sort of a boys' correction home. They had 15 or 20 cottages that had 24 kids apiece. They had 12 in this dorm every year, 12 in that dorm every half hour. I had to walk through the dorm, count heads, make a phone call every half hour, and make sure only one went to the bathroom at a time. The rest of the time was mine. I could do what I want. So I studied and went through school. That job put me through school because I studied every night. And one night, I got into making plaster craft, painting plaster craft, and I painted about 4 or 5 things. And there, on the weekends, I'd bring a table, set up shop. You know, and the guys started laughing. They said, "Oh no, they quit laughing when they found out what I was doing." You know, I was keeping myself occupied so I didn't fall asleep. Which I did sometimes, but, you know, but I appreciate everybody, you know, pray
Amen.
For you. Remember
Amen.
To pray for me.
Amen.
I appreciate
Amen.
It. Thank you.
Y'all love Brother
Dave? Amen. Amen.
All right. Let's read Psalm 45 and we'll go home. All right. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another. That's what we're doing,
yeah.
Passing the shout down to our children and teaching them that God is real. And by the way we live, the way we act, shall declare thy mighty acts. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. He is. He is good
yeah,
to everybody.
Amen.
They don't realize, a lot of people don't realize how good he is. His tender mercies are over all his works, and all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And that's what we're supposed to do, bless the holy name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. And he does have power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up all those that be bowed down. Brother Dave, he says he'll raise up those that are bowed down. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raise up those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou opens thine hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And that is true. The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And it tells you that he feeds the sparrows, he takes care of the animals. And thou opens thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. We're not, sometimes we accuse God of doing wrong. We'll accuse God of not being righteous. We'll accuse God, the world does. They'll accuse God for not being good. And I was listening to a talk radio show the other day. I was going down the road and the people were calling in talking about how they don't believe in God anymore because God didn't answer this prayer, God didn't answer that prayer and all that stuff. And I was talking to the radio. I was saying, man, God's still good no matter what. I mean,
yeah.
And maybe it's not your time. God always answers prayer, but it's yes, no, or not now. And I wish I could have been on the talk radio show with them. And people were saying, well, I give up my faith, and I don't believe in God anymore because this happened to my family, and this happened to my mother. I asked God not to let my mama die. And the Lord took my mom. And, all, you know, it's just stuff like that. I said, hey, man, the Bible says a point on time once for men, as a point on man wants to die and after this is a judgment. And one day we're all going to die, whether you're young or old, no matter, you're going to die. It says, thou opens thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous to all in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh on them that are call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. Amen. But all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, I was talking to Billy a little while ago, Uncle Billy, and he told me Vince Massa's church and Brother Benson's church tonight, they all took off after church and went down to Ground Zero. And they went down there to let the kids see Ground Zero and to spend time on their knees and praying for America, praying for our country. That's what we ought to be doing. I mean, passing the shout down to our kids, but they need to see that God's real. And I like to see the Lord answer prayer. I like to hear God answer prayer. And but it was a blessing to me to hear that they went down. I thought, ain't no way we're going to try that. I don't want to go to New York and get stuck up there in that traffic. It's terrible. But we definitely need to pray for our country. They were just trying. They're trying to do anything to stir their kids, and that's what we're trying. We try to have youth rallies. We try to have whatever we can do to get the kids stirred up, to pass it down so the kids will realize, hey, there's more to life than just about you. It's more yeah. just about, you know, what I want. And it's always, in America, we're so spoiled where it's always about what I want, what I. And it's not all about us. And but the Lord does give desires of your heart. He does do that. And he'll bless you and be faithful to you. I know that for a fact. I know that because I've experienced it. I've experienced his blessings. We've had hard times. We've been through some troubles. We've been through some stuff. And I've seen with Brother Dave when his wife passed away. I was there with him and preached a funeral. And, boy, it was hard. It was hard to see that. And then him and Cindy got married. And he called me after that. And my heart broke for Brother Dave for all, because I know, I was praying for him, the Lord help him. So you continue praying one for another. Like I said this morning, we're all one family, one body. We're all members of one body. And when one person hurts, we all hurt together. And we pray one for another. And we ask God to use us and help us to be united. And we got a local church here, a local assembly, of local members, and members of the body of Faith Baptist Church. And when we, like I said, when one person in this church hurts, we hurt with them. And we pray for them. And so that's our right attitude, is to pray one for another and ask, encourage one another. And that's what we're here for. Amen? Encouragement. We all need encouragement sometime or another. Sometime or another, we all need somebody. We need somebody to pat us on the back. We need somebody to tell us it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. And he'll come through for you. And I've seen the Lord do it over and over and over again. And the Lord is good. Amen? And all God's people say what?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Yes. All right, come on.